Want a recipe for success? Step one, visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. Step two, click on my link to browse OCD Training School's amazing course catalog. Step three, enroll. And step four, enjoy learning. With no added cost to you, you can support the OCD family community while grabbing some continuing education or learning how to bridge yourself to self-help strategies for OCD. Again, that's OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. And use my special link to sign up today.
Hi, fam. Welcome back to the OCD Family Podcast, where my worlds are colliding, because today, my oldest kiddo, Jack, is back to share with the fam and explore some strategies where we combine one of his special interests with fighting OCD. Are you intrigued? I hope so, because there's an imposter among us named OCD, and we are calling it out.
I'm Nicole Morris, licensed marriage and family therapist and mental health correspondent, and let me be the first to say, welcome to the family, the OCD family, that is. I am here to create a community of support for family members, spouses, partners, parents, adult children, as there may be adult words, and chosen family of OCD sufferers and their community. I've had over 22 years of experience in the mental health field, but please note that this information does not qualify or substitute as a diagnostic evaluation, therapy, or treatment, and it is presented on an as-is basis. Please follow up with a qualified mental health provider in your area regarding concerns for yourself or loved ones. Thank you for joining us today. Now, let's get started.
Alrighty, fam. So welcome back. Welcome back. This week, we're continuing to honor Autism Acceptance Month by celebrating neurodiversity and promoting deeper understanding and inclusion, guided by the voices of those with lived experience. And so my 11-year-old, Jack, who is an ADHDer with OCD, is here to share about some of the ways we battle OCD. So I'm really excited to have him share with you. And of course, I'm biased, but he is the cutest little hype man for the show too, which you'll hear a little bit later. So I definitely got a kick out of today's conversation. But for starters, I wanted to start by honoring Jack and some of his current special interests, otherwise referenced as SPINs. And then we're going to talk briefly about his thoughts on autism too.
I'm Jack Morris. I come from Indiana.
What are some of your favorite things right now?
Well, some of my favorite things currently, well, that's Among Us. That could also go with Minecraft, Legos, eating, because, like, you need to eat clocks, and especially when they chime.
Clocks that chime. Tell me what you like about clocks that chime.
It's just that it feels so magical.
Magical. I like that. And you could watch YouTube videos of grandfather clocks chiming for a long time, right?
Yeah, for like hours.
Yeah, if you can. What's one of your favorite clocks right now?
Well, Big Ben, which is actually the name of the striking bell, not the actual clock tower. The actual clock tower's name is the Elizabeth Tower, although it was originally referred to as the clock tower until 2012 for Queen Elizabeth II's Diamond Jubilee, thus giving it the name Elizabeth Tower.
I love how your brain works. Did you know that April is Autism Acceptance Month?
No.
Yeah, so it's a time where we celebrate autistic brains and we talk about how cool they are. And I have a couple of questions I would love to ask. So number one, what's something awesome about the way your brain works? What do you think? What do you like about it?
How smart I am.
You're so smart. You're like a little encyclopedia.
Yeah, and some people that are in my school classroom call me human calculator, which I allow that because that's basically me.
I like it because you like it, and I think that's really important. What's one thing you wish people understood better about autism?
It's that there's many different types of autism. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an autism that makes it hard to interact with others, and, like, if something you don't like happens, normally you just end up just having a tantrum, which I'm pretty sure that type, I think, is what my brother and sister has. I think my sister has the combination, and maybe even my brother also has the combination of the hard to interact with other people and the being smart, which is another type, being smart.
Yeah.
Which is what
I see.
Yeah. I take things I don't like with, like, more flexibility.
You do know. You know what? Daddy and I were just talking about this. You have become more flexible over time. I think when you were your brother and sister's age, it was a little harder to practice some of that flexibility. I think a lot has come from you understanding your brain and how it processes things, leaning into its strengths and challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I won't let the puberty that I've hit mess that up at all.
Right. The puberty. Okay. Is there a special interest or topic you could talk about for hours? What do you think?
Well, that would be Among Us and the Chiming Glocks and stuff. So basically the Chiming Grandfather Glocks that I could talk about for hours. Well, basically I'd like say information and give like some pretty cool facts out. And also I just like love it when I get the antique clocks like playlist from Apple Music by Sound Ideas. And some of the sound effects include like grandfather clocks chiming with the different chime melodies.
Mm-hmm.
They like have the sound effect of Waltham grandfather clocks chime melody where it strikes 8 and 3, then St. Michael's melodies striking 8, then Whittington melody also striking 8, Westminster striking 1, and then there's grandfather clock ticking sounds too.
Mm-hmm. I love that the clocks and the sounds and the different chimes are magical to you. One last question. What's something that you're really good at that makes you feel proud?
Well, like thinking what's the best option.
So solving problems?
Yeah, and like coming up with new ideas as well.
Okay, fam. So the bell tolls for Jack, and I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about different types of clocks and chimes with him. And as you heard, he also really enjoys the game Among Us. All my kids are enjoying it right now. So our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to lean into this engaging spin for Jack to help explain and suss out OCD. Although I'm sure some of you listening are very familiar with the game Among Us, some of you might feel completely clueless. Like, what are you talking about? Don't worry, though, because Jack has more information and cool facts to help you get caught up to speed. I will just note a quick trigger warning. There's killing in this game. It's kind of like Mafia, if you've ever played that. It's not graphic, but characters get killed. And furthermore, we will discuss killing or murder as a harm OCD theme that comes up later in our conversation, too. So just proceed with discretion. Have that in mind. But I'm going to kick it over to Jack to help explain Among Us better.
So there are 2 game modes. I'll start with the classic game mode. And this was the original one. So basically, there are imposters and crewmates. The imposter's goal is to either win via a sabotage or kill all the crewmates. The crewmate's job is to find out who the imposter is and exile him.
So the imposter is all about sabotage, and the crewmates, they're kind of like competitors. They're both trying to win the game.
Yeah, and also the crewmates also win if they finish all their tasks. And also the imposter can kill crewmates with the kill button. The imposter also can use vents to get around the map.
So they can kind of teleport to different areas of the map.
Yeah, but like the vents, they only go to certain different rooms.
Can you tell me, what's an emergency meeting?
So an emergency meeting is when a crewmate or imposter goes to the center table, or if you like see a meeting thing that says emergency on it and the use button highlights, and then you see the icon showing the emergency meeting and how many you have left. If you tap on the button, it then causes a sound, and basically everyone gathers, and then you have to think who's the imposter, and then if they get voted out, then the crewmates could win the game.
I see. So if you can get rid of the imposter, the crewmates can do their business and win. But if not, if the imposter is the last one, then the imposter wins?
So if there's one imposter in a game, there would have to be one crewmate left for the imposter to win, because the imposter could then kill, and then he'd be the only one left.
Oh. So I love that you love Among Us, and I have thought of OCD in an Among Us type way. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
And we both have OCD, you and me, right?
Yeah.
And so we know how mean and bossy OCD can be and scary.
Yeah.
And annoying.
Right. It takes away all the fun opportunities.
Yes, OCD can take away the fun opportunities. So I want us to think about Among Us, okay? And Among Us, if you're on a mission, maybe you're fixing a ship or you have your tasks to complete, but there's always that one sneaky imposter trying to mess things up.
Or there could be two or three, depending on what the host...
There could be two or three kind of popping up in different ways. But overall, there's these imposters. They pretend to be helpful, right? You don't know they're the imposter. They act like they're just another crewmate. Hey, Jack, I got some info. They're trying to tell you stuff. But really, they're causing trouble, right?
Yeah.
Guess who acts the exact same way? OCD. OCD is like the imposter. It pretends to help. It's like, hey, what if somebody could come in here and try and harm you in the middle of the night? If you just keep the door open, then you'll be okay. See, it acts like it's helping, but it's really an imposter that is doing sabotage. So it tells you you have to do something or something bad could happen. But just like the imposter, OCD is actually lying and messing up the game. Isn't that an interesting way of thinking about it?
Well, now I want to throw OCD in the lava.
Can you throw the imposter in lava?
Yes, if you're on the Polis map, because that's what the judge...
Well, win in Polis. Let's do it.
And if it's a crewmate that gets thrown in there, their hand is like, oh, help me. And like it's out and is like trying to grab onto one of the wall.
Yeah.
And the imposter, if they get thrown in the lava, they give a thumbs up.
So you and I, we've done a couple different types of therapy to try and help fight OCD. We've done ERP, where if we think about it in Among Us, we practice like, okay, we have our tasks to do as crewmates, and whether OCD is there or not trying to distract us, we're going to practice it anyway, right? We're just going to do our thing. We're not going to stop. We're not going to get distracted or avoid the imposter, right?
Yeah.
And ICBT, ICBT is kind of like calling those emergency meetings and going, hey, I think we spotted one of the imposter's tricks, and we get to have a conversation and be able to figure out, ooh, is this the truth or is this not the truth? We can discuss those kind of things in an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
Right?
And if OCD then starts to go defensive, that's the mark of a liar.
Okay, fam. So I just referenced ERP and ICBT, so I want to take a minute to explain what these are. ERP, for newer fam, stands for Exposure and Response Prevention, and it teaches us about that O in OCD, where our brain comes up with an intrusive thought, image, or idea, which triggers some sort of distress that often feels urgent or dire. It's unwanted or icky, and so it often results in a response or a safety behavior or avoidance altogether as a strategy for coping with the distress. Which is the C in OCD. Our responses can be mental or physical acts, and our engagement in them is what keeps those sticky thoughts stuck. So ERP helps to teach us to live our lives, exposing ourselves to our core fears, but with one big difference: response prevention. So instead of doing the mental solving or a physical act, we practice not doing those responses, not engaging in our compulsions or even the avoidance, and just living our life as we would live it anyway. And it's this new alternative way of responding or not responding to the intrusive idea that helps to create new learning in the brain. And that new learning means no more glue for that sticky thought, allowing it to fade into the background or sometimes away completely. So ERP in our Among Us world would be living our life as crewmates, crossing off our tasks, and not engaging in or responding to the imposter's sabotage. ICBT, on the other hand, is a very different way of thinking about OCD. ICBT stands for inference-based CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy, and ICBT is also an emerging area of study for pediatrics. So, while ICBT is an evidence-based practice for the treatment of OCD in adults, we don't have the studies yet to show its efficacy in children. But that being said, this is a great realm for putting on a clinical thinking cap for kiddos that can tell the difference between our here and now reality and their imagination. So Jack and I reference ICBT being similar to those emergency meetings in the Among Us game. And if you're newer to learning about ICBT, but all too familiar with our imposter OCD, then having an emergency meeting to talk about OCD can sound a lot like a compulsion. That mental or cognitive engagement sounds like a slippery slope into a rumination cuddle puddle with a sprinkle of reassurance seeking. But it's distinctly different. In the emergency meeting, if we're trying to suss out sabotage, then we're not just making accusations, responding to fears, trying to solve a problem that we're not sure but possibly could be in our way. No, we're evaluating evidence. We're trying to determine if we actually have information to identify an imposter or not. Because if we go based on evidence that is irrelevant or relies too much on possibility versus what our senses can tell us, then chances are we're going to strike out a fellow crewmate instead of an actual imposter. And when the imposters are up to no good, it can be really hard to slow down and learn if we're even jumping into a confused conclusion or following direct evidence. So ICBT helps to teach the reasoning process or the errors that we can make when we're falling into OCD's traps. But the good news is when we learn about how OCD has pulled this sabotage off, it gets much easier to spot sabotage from direct evidence. Here, we describe this process as similar to figuring out how a magic trick is completed. And because we love to support our fellow creators, Jack's going to tell you about a bruh named Zach King. So can you tell people who Zach King is?
Yeah.
Can you tell people?
You should go subscribe to him after this video, by the way.
Should.
Subscribe to us.
Yes, to OCD Family Podcast. Thanks, dude. Yes, fam. If you want to stop, like, subscribe, we love that. Give a comment.
You
do that thing.
For like the next video suggestion.
There you go. So you've said like and subscribe. Who is Zach King?
So Zach King is like this magician. And he uses, like, jump cuts and stuff. And, like, these tricks, like, they'd only work if, like, you film them.
Why would they only work if you film them? Can you give an example of one?
So, basically, like, Zach King is wearing a red shirt and then he's holding a green one. He then puts it up against his chest two times. And then on the third time, he's now wearing it and the red shirt disappears.
Right.
That's one of the jump cuts. It means that you stop to put the other shirt on and take the previous one out of frame, and then you got to make sure your head's in the right position, and then it will show you, because, like, basically jump cuts, they're not like magic.
They're not actual magic.
Yeah.
They're what? They're just editing tools, right? Yeah, so the jump cut is similar to, again, when we think about OCD, we think about Zach King videos, right? There's some crazy stuff he could pull off. Like, he's holding one color shirt and then suddenly he's wearing it. And you're like, whoa, he didn't move. We didn't see him take off the shirt and put on this other shirt. That's amazing, right? But if you know how they made the video, and something really cool about Zach King is he has some behind the scene videos, he'll show you how he pulls off some of these crazy magic tricks. It's not actually magic at all. It's that he cut out all the work in between and made it look a different way. So it looks like, poof, his shirt just changed colors, but really it's an editing trick, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you can also tell the head slightly moved.
Sure. So you can pay attention to some of those minute details. But also, we just know at this point, if we watch any Zach King video and he pulls off some crazy thing, like jumping into a painting, for example, like he's looking at a painting and all of a sudden he jumps into the painting. You're like, whoa, how did he do that? We also know that he did it through some kind of editing trick, because we're on to Zach King. We've seen his behind the scene videos and we know that it's not that he actually went into a real painting.
Not all of his videos he used the editing trick. Some of his videos he actually does worse perspective tricks where you can build them, and basically, like, and if you look at it in a certain way, it looks like it's bigger, but when you get closer, it's actually a small model.
Yeah, so what you're pointing out is that Zach King has more than one kind of trick. He has forced perspective tricks. He has editing tricks. Yeah. And OCD has a bunch of tricks and cheats as well. So just like Zach King can do these amazing things and you go, wow, how did he do that? Once you learn the trick behind how he did it, you start to realize it's not that this is real magic that somehow turned into something else, but he used something like jumping into a model, or he used an editing trick to show off the special effect.
Yeah.
And that's how OCD works. So OCD tries to trick you with the thought like, you know what, if you don't open the door at night, you're in danger. If you go to sleep with the door shut and it's dark in here, you might get harmed. Right? And it feels really real, just like Zach changing his shirt and you're like, wow, I saw it before my very eyes. The shirt went from red to green. But it's actually a trick. OCD is all about tricks. Your brain is using sneaky different tricks to help make its doubt all the more convincing. So you and I, we've run into this before with a trick at night around the dark and the door being open or closed to your bedroom. So can you tell, to the degree that you're comfortable sharing with people, what is your fear about going to sleep with the door closed?
That a serial killer or an assassin is going to come and murder me.
And in your fear, what kind of things have made that fear feel really real and scary? Like, this could definitely happen. What do you think?
Videos that are just trying to feel scary.
Okay.
And then OCD is like, ooh, something I can play with.
Scary vibes. So OCD uses that. So other people's story, another way we could say that is hearsay. You've done a Google search before, right? So I've shared a little bit about it on the podcast before, but he doesn't have access to just Google anything on the internet because we have some parent controls on that. But he did learn for a while there that if he asked Siri a question, and he has an iPad, if he asked Siri a question, Siri would look it up for him. And so have you talked to Siri about serial killers in Indiana before?
Yeah.
And what did Siri say?
He said, okay, here's some of the more recent serial killer murders in Indiana. First two that came up, the first one that was the most recent one was like somewhere in 2023. And the second one, this one was a way long time ago. It was in 1957.
Oh, yeah. So he latched on to the facts that there have been serial killers before. And why did it feel like more dangerous at night, do you think?
Because the dark is sometimes used for scary stuff.
So it felt possible that something bad could happen in the dark.
Yeah, but now I just realize that if I open the door, I have more likely a chance to get murdered if my door is open than shut.
That's interesting take on it.
That's irony.
But hear me out. One of the things we've talked about, just like in the Zach King video, he uses forced perspective and editing tricks where you can't see him changing the shirts. Maybe you notice some head placement difference, but you can't see any of the work in between, right? OCD uses some similar tricks. It says, hey, this happened in 1957 and in 2023. Is that related, or another word I would use, relevant at all to whether we're in danger right here, right now?
No, it looks like the security here in Indiana is actually very strong after 1957, because the most recent one was in 2023. That's a long gap.
But long gap or not, it's also a trick that OCD uses as the imposter to sabotage. It says, hey, if you think about that there were any cases ever in the state, then that makes the scary feeling feel more real. So it's a way it tries to add some credibility to its trick. But one of the things we've talked about is we can have different scary feelings with facts that things happened, right? And rules that if scary things happen at night, then at nighttime it feels scarier, right? Maybe stories you've heard from Siri or other places, and it's possible bad things could happen, right? Those things can all feel very real and they create a very convincing story, right? But also, do we remember where OCD gets the power for its stories? What's the fuel for OCD's story?
Scary videos.
Well, it could be scary videos, but it's not just scary videos. It's then thinking about how that could, not that it
happened to me.
Right. It could happen to you. Not that it is happening, but it could happen. So it's powered by our imaginations. And you have a pretty big imagination, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you said, you're a human calculator, so you can calculate endless amounts of stories in your imagination.
There's new ones coming in right now.
I like it. So imagination is anything we can imagine in our mind, whether made up or real. It can be based on a true story, or it could just be like a story that we think of that's possible. And then there's also a different way of thinking about things here and now. So the things that we can observe, we can smell, we can see, we can taste, we can touch. The common sense we can use. For example, was it cold outside today? How did you know?
Because of the wind and seeing that it was cloudy. And I'm pretty sure that means that some of the sunlight gets trapped in the clouds, which means sunlight also carries heat.
Okay, and what do you wear when it's cold?
Normally wear a jacket, depending on how cold.
How do you know that you need a jacket if it's cold out? How do you know that?
Well, if I check the temperature, like on a mobile device, if I don't have that data available, then I can just see what my siblings are going to wear. And then
yes.
If it's like the coat, then I'm going to wear a coat.
You can also feel outside. And if it's cold, you can be like, brr, right? And you can go, I need a coat. Or if it's hot, you can be like, I'm good. I don't need it.
Yeah.
So you can trust what your senses tell you. In your common sense, you might not even know what degree temperature it is. But if it's cold, you're like, I'm cold. I'm going to have a coat on. So when we are trying to deal with the imposter that is OCD.
Yeah, that's among us.
Right. Then the way we can sort out OCD from non-OCD, the imposter from crewmates, is we look for, do we have any evidence that this is happening right now? Like it's cold, so I need a jacket right now. Or am I just imagining it? So
yeah,
that's a skill. Similar to when you're watching a Zach King video, you said, I can see where his head is. And if it moved a little bit, I might think it's an editing trick.
Yeah.
Also, I can trust my common sense that he can't magically change the color of his shirt. So I'm going to guess he did edit there, right?
Also, Zach King, if you're watching this, I'm sorry that we exposed your tricks.
Very thoughtful. To Mr. Zach King. Yes, Zach King, if you're watching this, first of all, welcome. Please like, subscribe, and feel free to share. Thank you for your stewardship. So here and now, we can trust our senses that even if we don't see the editing trick, even if Zach King doesn't move his head, we kind of know because we can trust our common sense that people can't magically change the color of their shirt, and he probably did an editing trick, right?
Yeah.
So if we think about here and now in the imagination with the idea of what if a serial killer could come at night and hurt me, what with your five senses or your common sense would you need to see to be like, yep, I'm in danger of a serial killer being here at night? What do you think you would have to be able to spot in your room?
Well, firstly, I can just say like rarity.
Rarity? What do you mean?
Because like, basically, like, because of how feels serial killer happen.
So because it's so rare, you can trust your common sense that this isn't something that happens very often. It's not as common as hearing, like, your brother or sister scream in the house.
Yeah.
Right? That wouldn't be that rare. You'd be like, that's a Tuesday. But a serial killer happening in our house specifically, pretty rare. Right? So you can trust your common sense there. But what else would you need to see to prove to you that you're actually in danger when it's dark and you're going to bed if the door's closed?
Seeing if there's any shadow from a different person that isn't me.
Okay. But how do you know it's not me, Dad, Luke, or Emma? Or even Lucy? My money's on Lucy. Lucy would do. Lucy's our dog.
Well, if like their hand was in the shadow, if I saw like a knife in it, then I know it wouldn't be you.
Okay, fair. So if you saw the shadow of a hand with a knife, you'd be like, I'm in a pickle. This is not a great situation for me. Fair. Me too. Whether it was a shadow or I actually just saw the hand and a knife, I'd be like, this is not a great situation. I'm not loving this. So if I saw somebody with a knife, or maybe they even said something like, I'm gonna get you, then I'd be like, I think they have plans to get me. That would be a logical conclusion. So would darkness alone be an indicator that I'm about to get serial killed?
No.
No? Would door being open or closed be an indicator?
No, however, it could be an indicator for irony because you're more likely to get murdered if the door is open than closed.
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's kind of irrelevant.
Because then they can just walk in, get you, and walk out, and then leave.
But it's kind of irrelevant because unless the door is open or closed with, like, a person with a knife trying to kill, then it doesn't apply. And let's see, how many times have you been serial killed?
Zero.
Zero.
I wouldn't have been here to talk.
Fair. True. So, 0 out of 0 times you've been serial killed. And how many times have you had doors opened or closed?
Probably over 5,000.
Endlessly. Yes. So, based on what you can observe in the here and now, do you have to worry about if your door is open or closed and it's dark out, you being serial killed? Just based on those factors that you can observe.
Well, I would say no, because, like, however many times I've had the door open and I haven't been serial killed equals the rarity.
But also, remember what we'd have to see. See, the imposter's really good at painting this picture that feels really real, just like the Zach King video. But it's using all those tricks. What we'd have to see is somebody going, hey, I'm here to kill you. It's nighttime. That's obviously my prime killing hour, and here I am. Or to see a person with a knife or some kind of means for killing us, right?
Or a gun.
So now we get to go, you know what? This is OCD trying to sabotage my lovely night's sleep, my wonderful safe room, my cozy house, with the idea that only lives in the imagination. What if I could be serial killed?
It's a possibility, but it most likely won't happen.
And we would have to see, hear, taste, touch, smell something that our common sense says, oh, we're in danger now, to actually know we're in danger. We can trust ourselves. We know how to understand that. So that is a really cool thing, because once we learn the imposter's trick and we know how the imposter's trying to sabotage, and we can go, yo, emergency meeting, just like we did now. We had an emergency meeting. We're like, what's the imposter up to? Oh, the imposter uses the fact that any cases have ever happened in this state, and darkness can feel scary, to make us feel scared. But those are all tricks. Those are edits. Those are forced perspective. Those are cheats to try and make us think that the imposter is helping keep us safe. But inside, the imposter actually makes us more scared. And we can trust ourselves.
Yeah, plus if you're with another crewmate, then if the imposter would try to kill you, well, then the crewmate would see the imposter kill and they would get him.
Okay, so Jack and I really had to unpack that trick to get down to the bottom of the imposter's sabotage. And it takes practice to not get caught up in some of these tricks and cheats, because our brains are used to the very scary stories OCD has told us for so long. But it's almost like a sorting activity. If it's fueled by the imagination, it goes here. If it's fueled by something I can directly observe with my five senses, my common sense, it goes there. And our crewmates, that's us, family. We can help our loved one in sorting through the evidence too. So the emergency meetings aren't for ruminating or even compulsing. It's time for sorting out our stories. Ones relevant to the here and now, and ones that only can live and thrive in the imagination. And while today was an example and an overview of Jack and I putting some of the ICBT modules he has learned into practice for illustration purposes, I would say if you're interested in learning more about ICBT as a whole, you can check out icbt.online for more information. Or if you're a clinician and you want to learn more about the emerging strategies for applying this with the pediatric population, you can check out ocdfamilypodcast.com/courses. Because when you use my special link on any of OCD Training School's amazing course catalog, you can check out courses like Angela Adamson Springer's Next Steps in Pediatric OCD Treatment that talks all about how to adapt ICBT for use with kids. There are also ICBT live and on-demand trainings, and for non-clinicians, an ICBT self-help course. OCD Training School also has a course on ERP, and as a reminder, here's how Jack and I think about ERP from our Among Us standpoint. Another way we've practiced fighting OCD has been from ERP. So again, that's exposure and response prevention. Then that would be like us being crewmates, doing our tasks. We got our tasks to finish, like fixing wires or fueling engines or swiping our cards, stuff like that. It happens in the game. So if the imposter, that's OCD again, is always around trying to mess with us, trying to sabotage us, then it would look like us doing the things we need to do anyway. Like if I have on my list of tasks that I need to fix a wire, then if OCD says you better not fix that wire, a serial killer is going to get you, I'm going to be like, I'm not listening to that imposter. I'm not being influenced by the sabotage. I'm fixing this wire. I'm doing life anyway. Both can work, but I have found, especially with this serial killer idea with Jack, I have found that being able to look at how we came up with the reasoning error and kind of exposing the trick of imagination versus being able to trust ourselves, our five senses, our common sense, has been more helpful for Jack getting rest at night. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jack, I appreciate you sharing about your perspective. And I wonder if there's anything else you would want to share with the OCD family community before you go.
Well, thanks for coming here to listen to this episode of OCD Family Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe. It helps out the channel. And have a good one. All right?
I love it. You're my hype man. Yes, like and subscribe for the kids, for the children. All right. Well, thank you, Jack. I think what you shared today is going to be really helpful for people understanding some different ways they can boss back OCD. And I bet there might even be some kiddos that hear this and go, Jack's onto something. I like it. Thank you so much, my love. Intrusive thoughts. Okay. So hopefully this episode was helpful in terms of adapting treatment to help process and explore different concepts from a neurodivergent affirming standpoint. And that brings us to the intrusive thought segment, which for any newer fam joining is the application segment of my show. So my son's autistic, but he does not represent all autistic thinkers. In fact, as he pointed out in the beginning, there are different types of autism. And also, the spectrum doesn't just highlight the differences between people, but there are differences within Jack himself that change and vary. So I'm just going to highlight some general guideposts to keep in mind if and when you're trying to adapt treatment or maybe even family support into a neurodivergent affirming framework. First, I'll just speak from my own experience that autistic kids do well with clear structure, routines, step-by-step plans, and honestly, this fits really nicely within any evidence-based practice where the how and why of treatment is already formatted for you. Whether we're thinking about something like CBT, that's cognitive behavioral therapy, or DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, or even something like MCT, metacognitive therapy. Also, you probably heard it throughout our conversation today, but there's a lot of honesty and directness. Jack expressed his thoughts pretty directly. And I will say as a therapist, but also as a parent, that could be really helpful. Also, a good memory and focus on detail. These traits can help with learning and applying the different CBT or treatment tools once we understand them. And with repetition, often things not only get easier, but can feel more regulating. Then, as we did today, you can adapt and inspire motivation when you process things through the lens of someone's special interest. Makes sense, right? You have buy-in. You're like, I love this. So whether we would have thought creatively about clocks and chimes, or in this case, Among Us, when we can adapt therapy or therapy practice to different interests like video games, animals, science, it can really, really help to boost engagement. And so I hope this has been helpful, fam. And another special thanks to my special guy. From our crewmates to yours, just remember, family, that we are all better together. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining me and our OCD family community. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please like and subscribe to the OCD Family Podcast wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Did you find this content helpful? Please consider leaving a review. The more people that know they're not alone, the better. For more information regarding today's podcast, please visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com and remember to join the email list while you're there. It will provide you with the most up-to-date information, resources, and the download on the family chatter. Oh yeah, nothing says family.
like Jack and me, against OCD.
That's right. I went there. And you can too at OCDFamilyPodcast.com.
Therapists, ready to shape the future of pediatric OCD treatment? Join the Next Steps in Pediatric OCD on-demand course from Angela Adamson Springer, LCSW, and learn how to adapt inference-based cognitive behavioral therapy for kids. With research still emerging, this course empowers you to explore new methods and contribute to the growing field of evidence-based practices. With OCD Training School's 365-day access for on-demand courses, you'll gain practical tools to help kids by adapting ICBT's signature 12 modules to be as creative as the kiddos you're treating. So sign up at OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses to support the podcast at no extra cost and support further growth and hope for our youngest of warriors.